Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tet.
Having some trouble here.
And we were holding right at the bottom of Chet Omud Beit, and remember that we've been basically learning vignettes, where one thing sort of led to the other. We're remembering things that someone said. We want to go back and understand them properly. And now we're holding once again at another vignette. So yesterday, remember what Rabbi Yochanan had said was that Shlomim Sheshochatam Behechal, and now we're going to look at that again at the bottom. Here's six lines up from the bottom. Gufa, yesterday, Rabbi Yochanan said that if you went ahead and you shechted a carbon shalomim inside of the heichal, it would be kosher. Why? And the reason for this is because of his yesod. Since it says you can shecht the shalomim, petach ha'amoed lo yetafel chamur min ha'ikar. How could you possibly allow the shechita in the outside, in the chotzer, essentially, of the oil moed, which is the azora, and not allow it in the oil moed properly? So lo yetafel chamur min ha'ikar was his yisod. The secondary cannot be more powerful than the primary. Makes sense. Now we have a problem with this today. Meitve, Reb Yudah ben Betera Omer, minayin sheim hikifu avdei kochavim et ha'azara, shakohanim nichlasim leichav v'ochlim b'kotche kotchim v'shiyarim menachas. What would happen in an emergency? You've got people shooting into the azara of the Beis HaMikdash. You've got these crazies all around, terrorists surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. Where are the kohanim going to be able to eat without risking getting shot? So how do you know that they're actually allowed to go into the Heichal itself and eat? Well, that's because it says, Talmud Lomar, Bakodesh HaKodashim Tochlenu. So since the Torah talks about somehow, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean in the Chatzar, because it already said all of those dinim, so it must be talking about an emergency that you could even go into the actual Heichal, because it said before, b'chatzar olam oed. So if it's adding something, it's got to be adding in the Heichal proper. Now, the question is, what the Braita's telling us, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, is all very nice, but it should not be necessary, because since, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a general klal of lo tehei tafel chamur min ha'ikar, and we know from so many psukim that you're supposed to eat b'chotzer ohel moed. So why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that you can actually eat inside the ohel moed? It should be a kal v'chomer in the sense of lo yetafel chamur min ha'ikar. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan's concept is simply not true. And we don't say lo yetafel chamur min ha'ikar. Each place has its own special dinim. So, lo yetafel chamur min ha'ikar, answers the Gemara. What comparison is there? Rabbi Yochanan was talking about doing avodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, if you could shecht in the Azorah, you could certainly shecht in the Ohel Moed. But what does that have to do with eating? I mean, because you're allowed to eat outside, so therefore you can come into the private chambers of the Melech and you can eat in there? That's ridiculous. It doesn't follow. You don't eat where it's covered, that you're standing there in front of the queen, you're going to bring in a sandwich? So that's great, ridiculous. And therefore, avod adadam oved b'mokom rabom. Of course, there I was ready to say, amrina shlo yeitafel chamur min ha'ikar. But achila, she'in adam ochel b'mokom rabom, it's inappropriate to be eating dafka the closer you get to the mokom rabom. If it wouldn't be that the Torah wrote it and added b'kodesh ha'kodeshim, I wouldn't have known it. So over there, obviously, I never would have said, lo yeitafel chamur min ha'ikar, lo amrina. Okay, well, we've been talking about a lot of the machlokas in over here, and these sugyas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and, you know, once we're at it, we've got another few that maybe we should actually take a look at, because there's additional important machlokas in here that all sort of have to do with the general issues that we've been talking about in the mincha. So how about this machlok, sitma? Question over here is, you mixed the solet of the mincha with the shemen. And you did this outside. So in other words, you were going to bring your mincha from the home, like we saw yesterday, Malkam Shah's and Raglia's Arondot. You're going to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to put it into the Bisa and give it that first Kiddush Kli. And that's fine. But over here, what you did was is you mixed it with the oil while you were home, instead of first being Mekadosh it and then mixing it with the oil. So that's the question. Is that okay? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not okay. It's actually pasul. And Rish Lakish says, no, it's the same as bringing the Solet. What's these svaras over here? So Rish Lakish says that it's kosher. That's because it says in the Pasuk, V'yatzak aleha shemen v'natan aleha levona. And then it says, V'vi'al b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim v'kamat. So what do? You see from here clearly that you bring it to the Kohanim. It comes to the Kohanim only after the Yitzika and putting the Levon on it. And then it says, V'vi'al b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim v'kamat. So that means that the Kohanim don't kick in until we get up to the actual Kmitza. So that implies if you don't need the Kuhuna until then, so since only Mikmitza ve'elech mitzvat Kuhuna, this is another Gabi rule, a very fundamental rule for a mincha, which is similar to the rule by a zevach, which is mikabola ve'elech mitzvah b'kohanim, right? Here too, just like by zevach, the mikabola ve'elech mitzvah kuhuna, so too by mincha, mikmitza ve'elech mitzvah kuhuna. Are you listening, Mr. Gabi, or only Ori is listening? She might not be able to write it down. I don't know. I don't know how quickly we're getting things settled over here with Ori. Maybe you should write it down meanwhile. Her handwriting might be difficult. So anyway, so since you see that this teaches us that limed ayitzikav ublila shekshirim bazar, so it means that these early things, up to the kmitza, so you do the yitzika, the first pouring on the shemen, and the belila, the mixing of the shemen, all of those things can be done by a zar. So if you don't need kahuna, need a kahuna lo boy, finim nami lo boy, suresh lokesh is for it is, that since it's not yet time to actually be doing Aveda, so why would you need to do it Davka in the Beis HaMikdash? And where does Rabbi Yochanan get the idea that it's possible? Because since Asiyataz Beklihu, because of the fact that the Torah talks about the Yitzika after the Kiddush of the Mincha in the Bisa, so then that means you're using a Kli Kodesh. If you need a Kli Kodesh, you may not need Kahuna. If you need a Kli Kodesh, you also need to be inside. So, of course, you don't need a Kohen. I agree. That's the Pusik. But once this is part of what needs to be done and needs a Kli Shares, so because of that, it obviously needs to be done inside. Tanika Vasidur Yochanan. In fact, there's a Braita that says, Bilala Zar Kishera, but Chutzul Chomata Zarapsuva, which is exactly what it was that Rabbi Yochanan said. Kahuna is not necessary, and therefore Zaros would be kosher, but Pnim is necessary. Okay, let's get to another Machlokas. These are all separate vignettes. They're not. So we've got, that was number 13. Now let's go to number 14. Itmar. How about a situation where the mincha, now this is nogea, what we learned before, you'll recall, because we spoke it out in detail yesterday, that if a mincha is chaser before kmitza, so the question is, the kmitza, if you do it from there, is definitely possible. Now the question is, can you refill the mincha and then do the kmitza, or is it too late? Now obviously the question over here is, the old question, which was another Gavi rule, is the mana koveya or not? If the mana, if the kli in which you're bringing it defines the nature of ha mincha, we'll see later on that that is a very important word, the mincha with a capital T. And that, of course, is what the hey with the patach does. It makes it the. And the means that we have a very special mincha. What defines that special mincha? What point does it become the mincha with the capital V? So that's the machlokas over here. Is it from the moment that it's put into the kli and the kli defines it as such? Or actually the only thing that defines it is the moment that the Kohen does to do the Kmitza. Well, this is also a question. Rabbi Yochanan says, it doesn't matter if, let's say, some of it spilled out before the time of the Kmitza. Just go home, bring some more solet, fill it up, and now do the Kmitza. What's the problem? Yavimi tor beto vimal ena. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, the moment you put it into that bisa, that defined it as ha-mincha. And we're going to see later on that ha-mincha means from that point on, if it's not in its full status and it's missing something, you can no longer do any of the avodas with it. And therefore, if he holds that the moment you put it in the kli, that defines it, then that is the ha-mincha. So what are we talking about? Rabbi Yochanan is saying you could still refill it. Why? Because the actual tipping point at which it becomes ha-mincha is only the kmitza of the kohen. That is the mincha. But according to Reish Lakish, you cannot refill it before, because what defines it is the Kedushas Kli. And this was the way Reish Lakish had been looking at things. We saw in other cases, the Kli has a chashivas and is koveya, the nature of ha-mincha. So because of that, it's too late. If it's lost anything, you can't do kmitza on this because it's chaser. You're going to have to bring a whole new mincha, make a new Kiddush Kli. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan shows from the Mishnah that Reish Lakish seems to be wrong, and it is not the Kedusha of the Kli that is Koveya. Let's talk about the case of the Luk Shemen Shel Mitzora, which also we talked about yesterday in other cases. If Chosra Lug Ad Shelo Yatzak, so the same way that we have a din of a mincha that needs to be whole, it needs to be complete before I can do the Kmitza. We have the same halacha about the Luk Shemen Shel Mitzora. So remember what happens over there. The coin is Mekabel Adam. And then he actually sprinkling some of that dam onto the mitzora's body, the aznoa yeminit and the bohen yado and bohen ragloa yemanit. And then he takes this luk shemen. He pours the luk shemen into another kohen who's standing next to him, into his palm. And then he uses his right hand finger to dip into the hand of the kohen who's holding it in his left palm. So the din over there is you need to have the lug that was complete at the time that you actually are going to use it for the mitzora. So here it says, if anything happened to it before you dip your finger into it, go home, bring some more shemen, and fill it up. As long as you take the lug and you pour that lug into your fellow kohen's hand, there's no problem. Yimalenu. So even though it was in, remember, the log was one of the kalim that was kodesh. Remember, we spoke about that yesterday, the klei halach. Well, the log is a klei halach, and it was makadesh. Now, according to Reish Lakish, that should make it impossible to refill. But here the Braita says beferish, you can go home and refill it. So that seems to go against Reish Lakish's svara that a kiddush mana is definitive. Says the Gemara, you're right. This is a very powerful tiyufta, and it shows that Reish Lakish is wrong. Another vignette that we have, number 15, Itmar. How about Shirayim? We talked about this yesterday. Shirayim Rechosru, and we actually referenced this, but we didn't yet learn it, so we know about this. We mentioned yesterday that there's a machlokas. This is that machlokas. There's a machlokas about what the din is of Shirayim Shechosru ben Kmitza laHaktorah. And we saw over there that that was the whole discussion that we had about the Kmitza of the, you know, with Rebbe Lazar, with the Lechem HaPonim. Is that considered to be a Kmitza? And should it be Chosru if the Lechem, one of the Lechems broke? That was the discussion we had yesterday. That was where we referenced this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we finally get to it. So, if the Shirayim were, actually everything was fine. I did the Kmitza, I had the whole mincha there, and now, before I have a chance to put the Kmitza on the Mizbeach, a little bit of the mincha, what's left, the shirayim, which were meant to be eaten by the kohanim, a little bit of it spills out. And so now it's chaser. Is that a problem? If the Shirayim Brachos are between the Kmitza and the Haktorah, does the entire Mincha still need to be present at the time of the Haktorah, or does the Mincha only need to be present at the time of the Kmitza? So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, as long as at the time of the Kmitza, the Mincha was whole, everything is fine. Afterwards, I don't really care what happens to the Shirayim. Whereas Rosh Lakish says, no, you cannot be Makter the Kometz. Absolutely not. Because you need to have Ha Mincha all the way up till the end. Now, remember that we had that famous machlokas that we talked about. If something, there's absolutely no basar, you know, and there's no imurim, when we talk about zvachim, can you do a zrika of adam even though there isn't? This is going to be nogeya that sugya. And the same thing is true over here. Do you still do the haktorah of the kometz? Remember that the haktorah of the kometz is the act of zrika, so to speak, of the mincha. It's keneged the zrikas adam of the zevach. So over there, we always had the question about, are we going to do a zrikas adam if we don't have the parts that the dam is coming to be matir? So this is very much nogea, that same question, and it's through the analog to the mincha. What would we do if the shirayim that were supposed to be matir with this haktaras comment, if they were chaser? So now, let's make one thing very clear. If you hold, like Reb Eliezer, that you bring the kometz, even if there's not even the tiniest bit of the shirayim left, so obviously that's not what we're discussing over here. We are discussing, according to Reb Yehoshua. Reb Yehoshua holds you've got to have something left in order to be makriv, the kometz, because that's the same as being zorik the dam. So he talks about a case where there's nothing left. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are now arguing about what would Rabbi Yeshua say if something is left, but something was lost. That's the question. So here's the machlokas we're talking about, which we're going to be having later on here in Menachas. It's not. Nitma'u shiareh. Let's say some of the shirayim become tameh, or some of the shirayim become burnt, or avdu shiareh. Or the shirayim were just lost before we brought the kometz. So according to the way Reb Eliezer understands life, what was that? Well, that was the shita of Reb Eliezer about the din, v'yasita olotecha habasar v'hadam. So you remember, Reb Eliezer says, okay, habasar v'hadam, basically you've got an interrelationship. He holds that if you have dam, then you can bring dam separately from basar. Masha Enken, Reb Yehoshua holds that if it's not going to be matir the basar, then he ain't basar ain't dam. So now that would mean that kemitas, as we're saying, according to Reb Eliezer, everybody agrees that just because it's chaser is not a problem, because after all, he said if there's no basar, you bring dam. So if there's no shirayim, you bring the kometz. And bringing the kometz, you don't sprinkle the kometz, you burn the kometz. So that's the point. So what we were thinking is, Reish Lakish is saying, well, look, Rabbi Yehoshua says that you can't bring dam if there's no basar and there's no emurim. So the same thing is true over here. You cannot bring your mincha, even though it's true that Rabbi Yehoshua was talking about where it's completely missing, but I, Reish Lakish, hold that that would be true even if some of it has been missing, because remember that we're going to see the mincha is considered to be one unit, as it's called, the mincha. And I say, therefore, I'm just going like Rabbi Yehoshua, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? The only time that Rabbi Yehoshua said it's not kosher is where there was nothing left. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about that it was chaser. Where do you get the idea that if it's just chaser, that you can't bring the mincha, the kometz? I don't get it. Rabbi Yehoshua, he talked about a case where there wasn't a drop of it left. Mashenkin, over here we're talking, I asked, what's the din of mincha chaser the shirayim? So I say even Reb Yeshua would be motive to Reb Eliezer in that case. If you've got something left, then you certainly would bring the comets and be motive to that something. It's obvious that that's the point, the Tanya. But take a look at the Braita of the Machlokas of Reb Yeshua and Reb Eliezer, and you'll see that I'm right. The Tanya, Reb Yeshua Omer, Kol Azvachim Shabbat Torah. And something happened to the Busser, and something happened to the Emurim. But there's at least a Kezayit left. One Kezayit from the whole carbon, either Busser or from the Chalev, which is the brought on the Mizbeach. That's fine. As long as you're being Matir Kezayit, go right ahead and be Zorek the Dam. This is Rabbi Yeshua, mind you, who's being Machmir. But if you've only got a Chatzi Zayit of the Emurim, and a Chatzi Zayit of the Busser, you can't combine that. You wouldn't. Eino Zorek et Adam. But if this was a Carbon Ola, where there's no difference because both the Busser and the Emurim are put on the Mizbeach, if it was an Ola, you could even split it. You'd have a Chatzi Zayit of Busser and a Chatzi Zayit of Chalev, and you would still be Zorek et Adam to be Matirit. Mitneshe ba'ola kula kalil. The whole thing is brought. If it comes to the case of a Mincha, even if the whole mincha is still there, don't throw the dam. What? Dam? Since when does a mincha have dam? What are you talking about? Mincha? My avidite, what happened? Omer of Papa, remember we had this in Zvokin. Omer of Papa, what it's referring to over here is not a mincha with blood. We're referring to a case where you were bringing a korban and all of the busser was gone. Let's say you had an oila. All of the busser is gone. It got tummy, whatever. All of the emurim are gone. Now you want to be Zurich the Dam on the basis of, well, I still have the Minchas Nesachim, so how am I going to be able to be Mata the Minchas Nesachim unless I'm Zurich the Dam of the carbon? So let me be Zurich the Dam on the basis of the Minchas Nesachim. That's what it's referring to, Sir Papa. And it's telling me that even if I have a Minchas Nesachim, if I don't have at least a Kezayit of the Basra of the Karban or the Murim of the Karban, that I cannot be Zurich on the basis only of a Minchas Nesachim. That's obviously what it's referring to. We have never yet met a bleeding heart Mincha. So Omer of Papa, what we're talking about is a Minchas Nesachi, because I might have thought that Salkat Aitachamina, Ho Labadi Zevachat, it's bringing it together with the carbon, so we should look at it as essentially being part of the actual carbon. It's Kiguf for the Zevach Dami, and it would be enough to bring the Dam for Kamashwan. Absolutely not. It's not going to help you. Okay, but that's not what's important to us. The part that's important to us is that Rabbi Yeshua said very clearly, any Basar, even if it's a Kizayat, any Emurim, even just a Kezayit, you could go ahead and do the Zrika of the Daman. So when it comes to the Mincha, I don't understand what you're talking about, Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yeshua says, Beferish, there's a difference between the whole thing being missing and still having a little bit. Where you come off saying that if you lost a little bit of the Shirayim of the Mincha, therefore, because Rabbi Yeshua said that if all of the Basar was gone, therefore the tiny bit of the Mincha would also be, it makes no sense. What are you saying? So what, in fact, is Reish Lakish's Svara? Reish Lakish holds that a mincha is defined as a single unit and is not similar to the carbon where we can look at each kezayit separately. Where does he get that from? From the Pasek. The Amakra. Ve'hirim ha-kohen min ha-mincha, ha-mincha. Et askarata v'iktira mizbechana. What is that telling me? That is telling me that that unit, the mincha, as it is, you need it to be entirely there in order to do Heirim et Eskarata, which of course is the act of Kenitza, and Viktira Mizbecha. So that means it's all considered to be one unit all the way up until the time of the Haktara. Either it's all or nothing. You can't have a Kezayit of a Mincha to satisfy the requirement of being Matir with the Haktara's Hakomets. That's his far. And that's actually a pretty good svara. I mean, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with the fact that the Torah has defined it as a single unit? V'idach, what would Rabbi Yochanan do with that pasuk? Well, Rabbi Yochanan says, ha mincha, yes, the mincha, I agree with you in terms of, heirim ha-kohen min ha-mincha et askarata. as long as it was Hamincha at the time that you took the Kometz, which, remember, I always agreed on, then whatever is left, Tiktira Mizbecha. But it doesn't apply the Hamincha to the Mizbecha. So the Mincha that was once there, meaning at the time of the Kmitza, if afterwards something happens to it, that's no longer called Hamincha, it's the Mincha specifically of Heirim HaKohen Min HaMincha. Whatever I have now, Victor HaMizbecha. That's how I see. I also have a problem, says Rabbi Yochanan, with Reish Lakish's approach over here, that it's all considered to be one thing, and if even a little bit of the Shirayim are missing, you cannot go ahead and bring the Haktaras HaKometz. I don't see how that's possible. Take a look at the Braita we had yesterday. We were talking about the Lechem HaPonim, and we're talking about one of the Lechem, from the Lechem HaPonim, one of them broke before we did the removal of the Levona, and it was Ad Shelot Pirka, so before we took down the entire Seder of the Shulchan, one of the Lechemim broke. So then the Lechem is Pasul, that is similar to a Mincha that was Chaser before Kmitza. There, everybody was Moda Lechem. If it's before Kmitza, so for sure it's Pasul. Okay. At that point, the Lechem is Pasul, and you do not do the Haktara of the Bezichin, for sure. But if it broke, one of the Lechems broke, even if it's just a small piece, after we had already taken it down, and the Kmitza, so to speak, the what we're calling Kmitza, which is taking the Bezicha Levona off of the Shulchan. That's when the Lechem broke. Yeah, you can't use the Lechem, that's true, but you still can bring the Bezicha. And remember, Rabbi Lozer said yesterday, it doesn't really need to be taken off. It just needs to be, it's the time that it's roy to be taken off, because we had the whole Sfara yesterday. Remember that the Bezicha are already, so to speak, post-Kometz, because they're already separated. So, kivan shigiyaz mana lifareik, afo pishalo pirka. But anyway, the important thing is that the Braita is saying that if the Levona was already taken off, and then something happens to the Lechem, so at that point, you can bring the Kometz to the Mizbeach, which is the opposite of what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said that in a standard mincha, remember the analog on a standard mincha to this case, is a mincha which was chosra shiareha. It, according to Reish Lakish, you can't go ahead and bring it on the Mizbeach, the Kometz. And here it says beferish, you do bring the Kometz, in this case, of course, the Kometz being the Levona. But fine, it's the same thing, and therefore it proves that Reish Lakish is wrong. Oh, that's no problem, says Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. This braisa was going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that even if you lose everything, he was the one who says, even if ein basar yesh dam, and he's the one who says, even if ein shirayim, there still is Haktaras Kometz. So, of course, this is true according to Rabbi Eliezer. Omale, you know, I mean, what a ridiculous defense. I bring you a braita that doesn't mention any man diomar, right? I just bring you a stam braita, Mishnah Shlema. And you're going to come from nowhere, out of left field. Well, that's okay. This is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. If it was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, believe me, it would have said Rabbi Eliezer, Aymer. What kind of business? And it's obviously not Rabbi Eliezer. Because if it was Rabbi Eliezer, why would it talk about a case where one of the Lechem broke? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it could have said, if you threw out all of the Lechem, you would still, that was the finish of Rabbi Eliezer. If we're talking about one of the Lechem broke a little bit, that's obviously not Rabbi Eliezer. So Meir and Nifras, even if the whole thing would have been Soruv, Ovud, he says it's all kosher, I don't need anything. So don't tell me this is Rabbi Eliezer. All right, we're Shlokish. This doesn't often happen. He shut Reish Lakish up. Ishtik, he had nothing to say. Oh, boy. Now, the question is, it's not easy to shut up Reish Lakish, as you know. So the question is, why was Reish Lakish quiet when he had an easy answer? He could have simply said, "You, from the beginning, what are you bringing me a raya from the Lechem Aponim? The Lechem Aponim is a carbon tzibur, right? And therefore, by definition, it's not going to be a schomer. Why not? Because what if the tzibur was tamei? You only had a kohen tamei to be able to bring this carbon. Would I bring it? Yes, because that's the whole idea, that tumah is rutra b'tzibur. So because we have that tremendous kula when it comes to a tzibur, then that tremendous kula has other implications. It's a case of, even if it's chaser, look, if it's tamei, it's okay. So then if it's chaser, it's okay, you know? So if a kohen tamei can do it, so then he can do it even if it's chaser. So Reish Lakish should simply have said, oh, not Rabbi Eliezer, it's going like Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Yeshua is makel when it comes to the case of a carbon tzibur, because a tzibur has additional kulas. How come he didn't say that? Omer Vada Barava, let me tell you something. If Reish Lakish could have said something and didn't say it, then you have a lot to learn from that. Because what it must therefore mean, Reish Lakish would not have missed an opportunity to say something. So if he did not say it, it must mean that a chisoron in the mincha is the equivalent of its being a balmum in a behema. It's simply a mum. And there's never a case where we're mater a balmum in even a carbon tzibur. Never. And there is always a din of tamimas. And therefore, if it's the equivalent of balmum, it would have been silly for him to attempt to get out of the question that Rabbi Yochanan was asking by claiming that tzibur is different, even the gabi chisoron. Remember that even by the bird, where we don't have a simple mum, but chisoron of an aver we do have of a bird. So a chisoron is the ultimate mum. That's the point. Anyway, Rav Papa was saying over this whole story that Rav Ada Bar Ava made a diak from the fact that Reish Lakish did not answer, and he was shasik, that a chisoron is a mum. And he was saying it over to other people, and Rabbi Yosef Bar Shemaya said to Rav Papa, what were we talking about? You're saying he should have said that we're going to deal differently with a carbon tzibur. Who's to say we weren't talking about in the original machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Who's to say we weren't talking about a carbon tzibur? I mean, we could have been talking about Milo Askina, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were arguing initially with maybe about the Minchas HaOmer. I mean, they didn't say if it's a carbon yochid, but they didn't say anything about that. They had a machlokas across the board, which could have included even the case of a Minchas HaOmer that was chaser before the Akravas HaKometz. And that's a tzibur, and they were arguing. So, of course, Reish Lakish couldn't have said, I'm talking about only a carbon yachid, because he wasn't. He was talking only also about a carbon tzibur. That would be why. He can't be medayik anything from that. Omer of Malkiah, I've got a problem of Rabbi Yochanan, because there's a braita, I've got a contradiction of braita. One braita says that where it says, Ve'hevial b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, ve'kamatz misham melokum tzo misolta u'mishamna. So over here, the mapike means all of its solet, all of its shemen. What does that teach you? It teaches you, she'im chasra koshu, even the tiniest bit of the amount of oil that was necessary in that mincha is missing, the whole thing is possible. But another braita says, v'hanoteret min ha-mincha, so that teaches us it has to be ha-mincha, which does not apply if the mincha is chaser. If the mincha is chaser, or if the kometz is chaser, then forget about it. It's not going to be kosher. Or if the Lavona was missing completely, because over there there's no particular amount, v'shelo hiktir milavonata klum, you didn't have anything, you cannot use that to give to Aaron Ubanov, as it says in the end, that they should eat it. Yochleno, they can't eat it. So in the question that I have is, Trey Kroy Bechaserot Lomeli. Why in the world do we need, yes, the first prize is said Mishamna. Of course, I know that the Mapike in Mishamna is the only place where the Torah said you've got to have every last bit of Shema. But I don't understand why we are bringing two separate sukkim, because the first Braita brought the Pasek mi solta, and the second Braita brought the Pasek of ha mincha. Now, they're both saying the same thing. I mean, ha mincha means the mincha in its entirety, and mi solta means that the solet has to be there in its entirety. Well, obviously, if the mincha is there in its entirety, its solet is there in its entirety. Why would I need two separate psukim to tell me the same halacha? I'll tell you why. Must be that one of these psukim is referring to ha mincha needs to be whole at the time of the kmitza. But the other one is telling me that the ha mincha, because we already know misolta, is to tell me that it has to be a whole mincha even after kmitza until the time of the haktorah. V'chad v'shirayim shechosur ben kmitza la'haktorah, which would prove that Rabbi Yochanan is totally wrong, because Rabbi Yochanan says that actually a mincha is kosher even if it was chosur before kmitza, if you brought it from your house and you refilled it. And here it would be saying it's actually pasul. Pasul means it doesn't have, it's not that it's just missing something and it's not ready yet. Pasul means it's kaput. And that would mean you can't put anything in it. Rabbi Yochanan said you could still put back in from your home and have no problem. So it would show that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong about that. And it shows that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong about his second point, which was a mincha shechosra bein kmitza lahaktora, according to Rabbi Yochanan, maktirina takomet, and according to what we just read, we have a special pasuk of hamincha to tell me that that's not true. Rabbi Yochanan before claimed that hamincha was only referring to hamincha being shleim at the time of kmitza, and now it's saying hamincha needs to be shown at the time of haktora. So that kills Rabbi Yochanan on both counts. How else are you going to explain the need for two psukim, huh?
Says the Gemara, lo, that's not necessarily true. You don't have to say your explanation of why we need two psukim. I'll tell you why we need two psukim, says Rabbi Yochanan. Chad, lemincha shechosar kodim kmitza. One is telling me that you have to refill it. It's not telling me you can't refill it. It's saying that even though you brought the whole mincha and you say, well, I did my duty and now let the kohanim worry about it. Not true. It's not going to be kosher. It's pasul unless you bring it again. But bringing it again means filling it up from your refrigerator. That's all. Go back home, bring back more solid and fill it up. So chad lech mincha shechotzer kodem kmitza that you didn't bring from your home. It's only going to be kosher. Then it'll be kosher. But if not, it really is pasul. So it doesn't mean pasul is kaput. And the other one comes to tell me, Shirayim shechosur ben kmitza laktara. Does it say anywhere not to be maktir? No. It says Yochlenu Aharonu Vanav. And I absolutely agree with you. Even though you bring the komets on the Mizbeach, you cannot allow the Kohanim to eat from those Shirayim. That's all that it says. It doesn't say you're not allowed to bring the Kometz. It says the Kohanim lose their right to Achila if the Shirayim were Chaser. I agree with that. That's not what we were discussing, my friend. We were discussing whether you can be mocked to the Kometz. I say, absolutely, you can be mocked to the Kometz. Now you go ahead and bring me a pasuk that says that Yochlenu Aharonu Vanav. I go, well, of course, I understand. He can only eat it if it's shalim. That's what it's teaching me, that Af Agav the Maktir Kometz Elei. Even though you went ahead and you went and you brought the Kometz, there's still a Surim Ba'achila. That's all it's saying. And Lamaisa, this leads us to another related vignette, which is, we had this question about, what about according to the Man D'Omer? What about according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if the Shirayim are Shechosu ben Kmitza laktora, that you can be makter the Kometz? And we wanted to know, what about eating those Shirayim? Otama Shiraim, are they kosher to eat? Mahein ba'achila. And Zeiri said, no. How do I know no? Because the mincha, it says, v'hanoteret min ha-mincha la'aron u'levanav. What does that mean, hanoteret? After comets. That's what the pasuk was referring to. The Kohen should be memali a kapav in his comets. And then hanoteret min ha-mincha, meaning hanoteret from the mincha that she took the comets on. Why does the Torah have to stress hanoteret min ha-mincha? To tell me that it can't be the noteret min ha-noteret. It can't be what's left after something got ruined. It's what's left after this act of kmitza only. So hanoteret min ha-mincha, yes, that they eat if that noteret min ha-mincha is shalema. But if it's the leftovers of the leftovers, then the Kohen cannot eat it. Now you understand the pasuk in Ruth. Now it says Shiraim. It's not just that it was Shiraim, it was the Shiraim of Shiraim. And here we see Shiraim of Shiraim, our puzzle. Good. Yeah. Bunch of boors. Anyway. So. Rabbi Yana Yomer, Mina Mincha simply means the Mincha that was at the time of the Kibitza. It doesn't matter. Mincha Shaita Kvar, it says, should be given to Aaron Uvanav. At that time it was good, so then it's still good. Actually, there's a machlokas, whether that's the way to understand it, or whether Rabbi Yana is just bringing another raya from a different pasuk to the same idea Rashi brings. The possibilities. Anyway, we are now ready to continue with the next piece of the Mishnah. So we have finished our lovely vignettes, mostly concentrating around the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, looking at the various shitas and how much we can compare one aspect of Kachim to another aspect, ending here with the most powerful of those analogs, which was the question of im ein boser ein dam being related to im ein mincha ein kometz, so to speak. And that was the difference between them in terms of the mincha being an entirely one thing, and the difference, according to Rabbi Yeshua, when it comes to a zevach, between losing everything and just losing up till a kizayit. As long as you have the kizayit, you could be actually makriv. So let's get to, we finish now our series of vignettes. Now we're going to go back to the Mishnah. And we were up to, in the Mishnah, about kmitza bismol. So it says, if somebody did the kmitza with his left hand, so that was pasul. We sort of took that for granted because it was part of the list of the psulim that was we found back in Zvachim. But, I mean, the truth is, it's all very nice. It's that it's an analog, but do we have a specific pasuk that tells us that the aveda of the mincha also needs to be done by yamin? Asks the Gemara Minani Mili. So what is actually the basis for telling me that kmitza has to be by yamin? Well, Amar Rabbi Zeira de Amar Kro, vayakrevet hamincha vayimale kapo mimena. All right. So now that's telling us the Seder of the Dvarim over here. So these are the Sidorim every day in which you bring your korbanos that include the chavitim every day. And it talks about being mamale kapo, fill up your hand from the mincha, which is another way of talking about the act of kmitza. Now, I don't know what the kaf exactly means. Does it mean his right hand or does it mean his left hand? Well, let's peek ahead when we get to the parsha of Mitzora. What does it say over there? Kishomer milavila kaka kohen miloga shaman, the atzak. Now here's the other kaf. The other kaf for the first time that's mentioned is the Kaf HaSmolit. So it says over here that the Kohen who was doing the Avodah for the Mitzvah, the Taras HaMitzvah, in the Asham Mitzvah, he takes the Luk Shemen and he pours it out on his Kohen who's standing next to him to help him out with this, onto the left palm of that Kohen. Which means that when the Torah wants you to know that we're talking about a left palm, it says so. And if it doesn't say a left palm, then it means the right palm, which is the standard for the avodas that we find elsewhere. So that teaches us, kan, in this special case where the Torah spelled out the left, kan, it means the smolit. But the norm of the word kaf, Komakom, Shinema Kaf, without any further adjective, there it's a reference automatically to the right. I get it. How does it prove that? That's ridiculous. The din by the Mitzvah is that you have to pour it into the left hand. So if I didn't tell you the left, you would have thought, okay, so here too I have to pour it into either. Maybe you would have thought Kaf could mean either. If the Aveda requires you to pour it into the left hand of the assisting Kohen, who's Bedavka, not the one that's going to be using his right hand for anything, it's you, the primary Kohen, who's going to be sticking your right finger into this friend's left hand, so of course it had to say the left hand because it was trying to give the halakhas of the assisting Kohen. The assisting Kohen uses his left hand. So I need to know that. So how could it teach me a general rule that anytime it says kaf, it would have to mean the right? That's not true. Anytime it says kaf, it could mean either. In this case, it needs to be the left. So it said left. I mean, isn't that logical? Yeah, you're right, says the Gemara. The only thing is that it repeats the word smolit again. So there's no need for me to keep repeating smolit. And the truth is, maybe it's worth it for us to just take a look for a moment at the parsha and notice how many times, because in the end, we're going to see a lot more than one or two or three just mentions of smolit. We're going to need to actually learn out more than what we've seen so far. So if you take a look in Mitzorah, I'll read it to you, and you'll see that it Mamash mentions it at a point where it's coming out of your ears, and you're wondering, why are we talking about this so much? So after the Nesinas Hadam, where it says over there, V'lakach HaKohen Midama Hashem, it says, for the first time, and remember that there are two parshas by Mitzorah, one after the other. One of them is talking about a Mitzorah who can afford the full Karbonis, and therefore when he's bringing his Karbonis, he brings them all from animals. And the other is referring to the Kohen, who is the Dal, the Mitzorah is a Dal, and he cannot afford to bring all of these expensive korbanos, so he does need to bring his asham, but the Torah allows him to bring birds. So, okay, so over here we're talking about the Mitzorah Ashir, and it says over there, V'taval HaKohen, V'lakak HaKohen Milog HaShemen.
Sorry, Rabbi, where we? Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, where we?
What's that? You're at Sheni.
Sorry, chapter 14, verse 15.
Thank you. As our lecturer in Tel Aviv U has it all down to the chapter and verse.
I try to stay away from that on purpose. The lecturer from U always gives me rebuke about that, by the way.
Okay. So in Sheni, yes. So it says, first, this is our first mention, which we just were learning. That was our first raya. But now look, the very next pasuk adds, "V'tavala kohen et etzpa'o hayemanit min hashemen asher al kapo hasmolit." What does it have to repeat it for? It already said that the shemen was in the kaf hasmolit. So therefore, that gives us an extra mention that should not be required. Now let's move to Shlishi, and it says, Ve'im dalhu, ve'en yado maseget. If he can't afford these expensive korbanos, so then he only has to bring one animal, and that's a keves for his asham, And the rest, he can bring his chatas and his zayla, he can bring shtei torim or shnei b'nei ona. Okay. Now there it repeats the same thing. It says that min ha-shemen yitzak ha-kohen ha-kaf ha-kohen ha-smolit. The next pasuk repeats again. V'yizak ha-kohen betzpo ha-yemanit min ha-shemen asher akapo ha-smolit. So we've got four separate times in which the Torah mentions the same thing, that it has to be the smolit. Now, I understand that one of them can be legufo, obviously, but why would we need so many different mentions? That's my point. And if it was necessary to repeat it, it must be to coming to tell me the specific din that it's got to be a, not legufe, but besides legufe, smolit achrina ksiv. Well, okay, but wait a minute. That gets us into another problem. The other problem is that we have a rule, which is a Gavi rule, that's called in miut achar miut ela lerabot. There's two negatives equal a positive. So if you tell me you can't use the yamin, the small, twice, then that tells me don't learn from here, because it was mentioned two times, and therefore it would be marva that you can also use your right hand. And therefore it unnecessarily repeats that it happens to be in your left, but doesn't need to be in his left. That's the point. Ah, but you see, there's a third smolit. Aha. So that third smolit tells me here and only here does the word, the kapo, refer to smolit. But normally, it means, in all other cases, it refers to the right. Where do you get that from? I thought we generally take an example and we make that the model. So we should say, Anarabba, just like the Torah was makbet on smolit over here, so too, whenever the Torah talks about a kaf, it means a smolit. I mean, that's what you do when you say that it has to be on his right ear and his right toe and his right thumb, right? You always use that word to teach me that it's always a reference to the right. And now all of a sudden you're telling me, no, it's only here a reference to the left. We need consistency. So Adarabba, we should say, this is the model. Makan smolit, av ba'alma nami smolit. Ah, but it says it four times. So the fourth time comes to tell me it's two times in the Mitzora Ani and two times in the Mitzora Ashir. So therefore, it must mean that kaf can be smolit only here, but everywhere else, it actually means the kaf dafka, the kaf hayamin nit.